and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nurture and Support. I am Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter, and this is the podcast where we share all the awesome because we're givers. That's what we do. And as my dog tries to kill himself under my chair, I'm sorry about that. I give you Kelly Tool.
And no one wants me. Hi, everybody. It's at Kelly Tool, K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter. And glad to be back sharing all the awesome since 2013, episode 83.
Yeah.
Big numbers. Big numbers.
Yeah, we're rolling right along.
Yes, indeed.
So my recommendation this week, I think is pretty cool. It is actually one that was recently featured on the iTunes App Store, so some of you may have already checked it out, but it's not in my usual apps that I would have gotten, so I thought I'd talk about it because I find it oddly amusing, and for those of us who spend way too much time on the internet, it could prove to be useful. So it's an app called Retype. That's R-E-T-Y-P-E, and it's a typography photo editor. It's only $2.99, and unfortunately, it only works on iOS, so you have to have an iPhone or an iPad for it to work.
And no soul. I'm sorry.
Yes, it helps. Said that out loud. Yeah. It always helps
it's
to have
part of the terms of use for iOS, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So what this neat little app does is it comes with a bunch of photo backgrounds built in. It appears that this company has made several apps that pretty much all revolve around some sort of photo editing, things like that. So this app is really very slick, as us soulless Apple users would expect. It comes with a bunch of backgrounds built in, and as it suggests, a bunch of built-in fonts. So there's several of them to choose from. Our basic categories of fonts are: we have vintage or letterpress, one they call vegan, a hipster font, one that's called mothership, the queen, newspaper, a loose brushwork, samba bossa, Elise, which is kind of an Art Nouveau type font, Nord, Core Circus, a Lunar Eclipse, Obvious, which is a very large font, some script fonts, and one that they call Soft and Fat, which is kind of like marshmallows. So what happens is you pull up one of the photos from the library, or you can use one of your own photos if you would like. So you pull up a photo, either one of theirs or one of yours, and you start changing. You can put in either your own little saying, or you can use one of their, I didn't bother to count how many built-in phrases they already have in there, but there's a bunch of them, from the snarky and sarcastic to the inspirational. So you have many things to choose from if you're needing inspiration, or you can put in your own. And then once you put the words in, you can go through tapping on those different fonts and apply them automatically in nice little artistic ways that those of us who are artistically challenged would never be able to do on our own. Having said many times in the past that I am one of these artistically challenged people, I find this to be pretty cool because, you know, when you've got one word that's emphasized in your little phrase and they're all lined up or they're all in different spaces, you know, some people make that look really slick and cool. I am not one of those people. So this is pretty cool for me. Now, I have to say, my biggest idea for the uses of this app for me would be to make my very own demotivational posters. That's what I wanted it for.
I like it.
And I've made a few and sent them to a few people who needed a little demotivation. So the cool thing, part of the cool thing is, all of these different fonts that you have, they're not set. So it's just a category. So if you keep tapping on the icon It changes the font slightly to another version in that family of fonts. So you've got, I don't know how many, I didn't bother to do the permutations, how many fonts you actually have built into this. So you can alter the color of the font itself. You can also, because they're based in photo editing, they've got a bunch of different filters built in. So you really, while you can't do absolutely anything that you want to do, you can do almost anything. Somebody like me pretty much couldn't figure out something that they wanted to do in this app that they couldn't do. So it's really actually pretty cool. You can even, it took me a while to figure out how to do this, but you can even reverse the background photo that you're using and have the colors that photo show up in the font, in the typography that you actually have down. So you can enlarge the font. You can actually decrease it of the actual picture of what the font looks like. You can move it around the screen, so you can place it at the top or the bottom, or you can perfectly center it. You can do pretty much anything that you want to do. So it's pretty cool. And it runs the, you know, they have pretty much the built-in photos that they have are all very nice photographs. Like I said, the ones you would see on a demotivational poster, all the way to grunge, brick walls, all sorts of things. And with the built-in filters, you can change any of those photos and actually make some of them look drastically different, with the different color overlays that you can do with all the filters. So you actually have a lot of options going on in this app, and I like it quite a bit. You can always import some selfie that you've taken and make fun of yourself. I think that would make a great demotivational poster. Take a selfie and put something on your face.
There
So
you go.
it's also great to do to other people, and then send it to them in a nice little text message because you save these photos to your camera roll, or you can send them directly to Instagram in the app. The app also integrates with the more function in your photo roll. When you open up, when you're in your photo roll and you look at a photo, you can go to edit directly from there. And this is in the more functions, you can get there directly from your camera roll. So that's pretty cool. So it's called Retype, and I think it's pretty neat. And I see a lot of demotivational posters in everyone's future.
That sounds excellent. And so we need to talk, Mel, because I don't know if you've had an opportunity in the past to see either of the first two editions of You're Stupid that Kate Frost and I have put together, which are kind of demotivational phrases.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, so they're 1 minute long. Kate, very funny lady, and we typically on Mondays exchange demotivating comments back and forth on Twitter. And so I kind of put them together in a bit of a slideshow, if you will, that runs about a minute. And we've done two of those. And it might be nice I'm thinking I need to get a third one done sometime. It'd be nice to roll a couple of your demotivational posters in there. So we'll have to chat afterwards and see what we can do. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool app and it's very easy to use. So, even though it's on the soulless Apple platform, you
That's
know,
right.
it's $2.99, which is incredibly cheap for apps that do things like this, but it's not free. It is $2.99. So,
Well, and I do have a portal to Helpad, so I could probably try that out a little bit. It does sound cool. And I can fiddle around. I still use a super crazy old graphics package that I've had forever that I know how to use, and I can do some text positioning, but nothing significant like this could probably do. So it might be a real nice addition. So I'll have to take a look at it. Sounds great.
I don't have a good eye for things like that, being artistically challenged, but I like it. It looks good to me. Maybe maybe to a real artist it won't, but it looks good to me. I like it.
Font snobs, who,
Yes.
whatever. So
There was no Comic Sans, but hey,
yeah,
you know.
we can make it. All right. Well, my recommendation will be very motivating and very exciting. And we'll get a I guess I'll get into it in a little bit of a roundabout way. I went to Canada recently, and while in Canada, I watched Netflix, but the Netflix in Canada isn't the same Netflix as in the United States. So the recommendation I have, if you're in Canada, you can see on Netflix. If you're not in Canada, there are some places. I think you can go to the Adult Swim website and see all these, particularly if you're a cable subscriber and you subscribe to a network that carries the Cartoon Network, you're going to be good to watch these online. But my recommendation for this week, and I'm very excited about it, and if you haven't heard it, you just need to run to any device possible to watch these, is the Mike Tyson Mysteries series that's now available. Now, Mel, I know you're not a big sports person, but you probably know Mike Tyson was a boxer.
I do know that.
And he has a face tattoo, made that choice, which was an interesting choice. He likes to use larger words, sometimes doesn't necessarily always completely have it nailed down, the appropriate application of them. And he has a bit of a lisp, and that will come in. And so there's a unique vocal delivery to Mike, but he is in on this. He voices the Mike Tyson character on Mike Tyson Mysteries, and it unmercifully pokes kind of fun at him and other things too. But it is really funny. It is not mean spirited. It is edgy. There's a lot of more adult humor. It's part of the Adult Swim kind of program. But imagine, if you will, Mike Tyson as a person who solves mysteries. And it's done very, very much in the Scooby-Doo fashion. So the characters look like kind of drawn like Scooby-Doo characters. And the beginning harkens back to one of my all-time favorites, Johnny Quest. And it's Mike Tyson riding a pterodactyl and fighting and these things. And his crew, because it is kind of like Scooby-Doo, his crew consists of Mike Tyson, the Marquis of Queensberry, who was acknowledged as the individual who formally established the rules for boxing back in the 1800s. So it's the ghost of the Marquis, because Tyson's a big boxing history fan. So, of course, the Marquis of Queensberry is his with him. And he's drawn in the traditional Scooby-Doo ghost style, which is, you know, it's the full outline and you have all the drawing of the character, but they're just white. And so he's done that way. A pigeon, who was a guy, Mike used to raise pigeons too when he was a young guy, and then got in a street fight because somebody broke one of his pigeon's necks or something. But there's a pigeon, and this pigeon formerly was a guy, but he was cheating on his wife, who was learning about witchcraft, and she turned him into a pigeon.
Awesome.
And then his 18-year-old Korean daughter, who was left on his doorstep as a baby, Yung Lee, who Mike never gets her name right. You know, it's all sorts of variations. At one point in the scenes, they actually fly to China and incorrectly in terms of where they're needing to go. And like, well, we need to go somewhere else. He goes, oh, before we go, go visit your people. And Yung Lee, and or something close to Yung Lee. And she goes, I'm Korean. I'm not Chinese. He goes, well, so go visit your people. He just kind of didn't get it. So she's the only, out of this crew, you know, she's the only one that's kind of got it going on. She seems to be quite a smart young lady. The pigeon is voiced by Norm MacDonald, and the pigeon is a complete dirtball and smoker, drinker, goes to strip clubs, and as a pigeon, and these types of things. And it is, they're 10 to 12 minutes long. There's 10 of them in the first season. It has been renewed, gloriously renewed. It'll be back next year. But just to kind of give you, I mean, you can't, it's very hard to, you know, I think I've probably given you enough information. It's Mike Tyson, a pigeon, an 18-year-old adopted Chinese daughter, and a ghost solving mysteries that come to them on a pigeon. A carrier pigeon comes in with the mystery on there. To give you a couple of the plot lines, the pilot or the premiere, Cormac McCarthy was needing to complete his novel and was asking for Mike's help on the last chapter. And so they were going to do that, but it turns out actually there was a chupacabra on his property, and that's why he was bringing Mike there to help get rid of the chupacabra.
Okay.
So kind of already covered a little bit of Mr. Tyson's, you know, diction and some of those things. So chupacabra for Mike Tyson, it's not a good word for Mike. And he is just chewing it up horribly all the way through there. At one point, Pigeon actually goes, this is not a good word for him. Chupacabra is not a good word for him. The next one, they receive the message in binary code tied to the pigeon, so they're beginning to have some conversation about what binary code was. Uh-huh. And so they explain, well, it's ones and zeros. And so he holds up an old IBM computer card, which was somehow connected to the pigeon that brought it in. And it's the word help written in ones. It's ones and zeros, mm-hmm. but it's just the word help written in ones and ones and zeros. So it's in binary code, but it's not. It's sort of.
Yes.
And Yung Lee's like, oh, it says help. And he goes, you can read machine code? You must be a robot. So he's, why didn't you tell me you were a robot? You could have told me. So he's convinced his daughter's a robot for the rest of the episode because she can read binary code, the word help in ones. And he was being requested to come. Someone was asking for help. Big Blue, IBM's artificial intelligence, was playing Garry Kasparov in a chess match. And so it was a little unclear on who was asking the mystery folks to come help them.
Tyson to come help it.
So Tyson shows up, is talking briefly to Garry Kasparov, who mentions that he's a grandmaster, which Tyson then punches and kills him because he has confused grandmaster with grand wizard and thinks that he's the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. And he said, I'd given up violence except for two reasons, and one of them was if I ever came across the head of the KKK or Adolf Hitler. These were the two people he would give it up and kill for. Later episodes include Elon Musk, Tyson getting him and Elton John confused in terms of who they are, and Mike liberating a rocket because he's kind of concerned he's become a serial astronaut killer. Turns out later he is a serial astronomer killer, and it's all very interesting. So. Each episode, it's funny. I said there's edgy humor in it. I would not, you know, in the continuum of things you watch, you're like, wow, this is kind of like a really strong vulgar thing. I wouldn't depict it as that. I will also say that it is not a hey, let's bring the 6-year-old in to watch this show, because there's themes, particularly the pigeon has some life choices that and interests that he'll talk about that are not good for the young ones. But it's not. It's not like vulgar over the top, but I mean, there are those elements to it. But it is just, it's a joy. It's just so funny. And then Tyson himself, at the end of all of them, except the last episode in the first series, he actually comes on live and kind of just does a call back to some part of the episode. And he's wearing, through all this, it's a blue tracksuit with a question mark on it, and Yung Lee's got a pink tracksuit with a question mark on it. And it's just awesome. So it's really fun. So if you're for our Canadian listeners, just go to Netflix and enjoy it up. For those of you in North America or United States, you might want to try the Adult Swim website, and you should be able to get to most of them there. I'm not sure what's on YouTube right now, but it's amazing. I had no idea. It's like, what is this? and I
never even heard of it. Wow.
But it is awesome. And then, you know, so I mentioned Norm Macdonald, Mike Tyson, and then the Marquis is voiced by Jim Rash, who was in like Community, played the dean in the show Community and all those types of things. So he's a pretty funny character too. Yung Lee is voiced by Rachel Ramirez. And she does a good job too. Again, the only sane person in this group.
That sounds pretty good. I'm not a boxing fan, but I'm gonna have to check that out. That sounds funny because Scooby-Doo, Johnny Quest, yep. My favorites.
Yeah, I think you don't. I was thinking when I was gonna make this recommendation, it's like so. Will Mel in? You know, is there too much kind of inside stuff you need to know? And I don't think so. There is a boxer shows up named Trevor Berbick at one point in time, but the show kind of clearly establishes that this is a boxer and it was a guy Tyson fought, so you didn't need to know that. That's an amazing scene. Just it's so awesome. And then a later, I don't know if you're aware that late in his career, when things were not going particularly well for him, he he had a fight with Evander Holyfield, and he felt Evander Holyfield was headbutting him, so he chose to chew off part of his ear.
Yeah.
So there's a reference to that.
Yeah.
But so far the only two main things you need to know. And it's just kind of, you know, some of the subtleties, kind of little Easter eggs are why, of course, Mike Tyson, a student of boxing, would, the ghost that he would be hanging out with is, you know, the Marquis of Queensbury. So very cool.
Neat. That sounds good. I'm going to have to look that up and watch some of that because it sounds funny.
It is. I love it. It was very enjoyable. Norm MacDonald was born to play a
adulterous pigeon.
Adulterous, immoral, dirty-minded pigeon. He's the guy. He is the guy.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like there's probably some good quotes in there that need to be put on a demotivational poster and retype.
Yeah, and speaking of adulterous, immoral, ill-mannered pigeons, here's Matt to tell us a little bit more about how you can connect with Nurture and Support via Gmail or email, via websites, iTunes, YouTube, and the like. So we'll hand it over to Matt, but before we do, I'd like to say thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net. Or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com. Or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Toole.
Nurturing and supporting giants.